If there's one thing that our church must have, it's a very high goal of who God is. We have to have a very high view of Him. When we take a low view of God, it will not be long before He departs with His blessings. The fear of the Lord. Those words we often read. Fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord. It's interesting because the fear of the Lord occurs 25 times in Scripture, and fear the Lord happens 32 times. Now, there is a difference. I'm only going to take one aspect of the fear of the Lord today. This is the positive one. I lived with a dad who would take the negative one. We're not going to go that route this morning. But there is that element that we do need to fear the God. When we disobey Him, He will punish us. He will discipline us. And so we have to be careful that we do what God wants us to do. But what do we mean when we say fear the Lord or fear the Lord? Are we frightened of Him? Do we cower down when we hear His name or think about what He's going to do to us if we don't obey Him? There is some of that when we walk in disobedience, but that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. Some people say, well, fear the Lord. Isn't He a God of love? Absolutely. And fearing the Lord is part of that, and we're going to talk about all that. I must admit, I'm not complete in my thought process through all of this message today. I'm still working on this. I've only had just a few days to think about this, and then when the pastor called me on Friday, I thought, man, I'm not really ready for all of it, but I'm going to give you what I've already learned about fearing the Lord. Over in Psalm 103, it says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." Verse 13, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." Drop down to verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him." So there is this aspect of fear. But I kept asking myself, what does that mean? Is there anything in Scripture that really tells me and defines what the fear of the Lord is? So I started reading through all these 57 verses that contain the fear of the Lord. And I came up with Deuteronomy, which is going to help us today. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, let's read verses 12 through 14 to begin our study. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord with thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, and the earth also with all that therein is." Look at verse 20. "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to Him shalt thou cleave and swear by His name." Just by way of introduction, what is the definition of the fear of the Lord? What are we talking about? The dictionary defines it this way. The dictionary says, reverencing God, holding Him high as on a pedestal. The one I really like is, it means to honor Him, means to worship Him, to hold Him in high respect. That's what the fear of the Lord means. Now, the term can be used in certain places where it really means the fear of God, to be afraid of Him and to walk in disobedience. I had a dad who loved to discipline. Now, I must admit, I required it a few times. I needed it, but my dad liked to use the belt. I learned very early on when he says, go get the belt, you don't buy the thinnest one. You get that wide one where it spreads that out just a little bit further. But he used it all the time. Did I honor my father? Did I respect my father? I'm supposed to, but I must admit I didn't, because all I knew about my dad was discipline. But I want us to know what it means to fear God today. Because if we are going to honor Him and respect Him and worship Him, we need to know what does it mean to fear God. And if there's anything I desire for you today to learn a little bit of what I've already learned, is we need to fear God. So we see the description of the one who fears God in verses 12 through 14. And I want you to notice the first thing he lists here when he talks about the fear of the Lord is to walk in all his ways. Walk in God's ways. Three things came to my mind when I thought about walking in God's ways. And the first thing I thought about was to walk in submission to his will. In Psalm 48, it says there, I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy way, O God. Do you delight in doing what God wants you to do? I love it when God makes it clear what he wants me to do, and then I do it. Why? Because it brings joy to my life. It brings satisfaction to my life that I'm doing what God wants me to do. And when we do what God wants us to do, he blesses it. He encourages it. Another thing I thought about when we talked about the walk of the Lord, it's a walk of humility. And I thought about Matthew 11:29. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. It's a walk of humility. Being a missionary for all those years, it's easy not to be humble sometimes. You spend 6-7 years on the field. We hated furloughs, I'll admit that. So sometimes we'd stay on the field for 6 or 7 years before we'd come back and report to churches. So we boiled down 6 or 7 years of ministry into 15 minutes in a church. And wow, does it sound incredible. You've had how many people saved and all those, and you put the slides up there of all the people. I mean, everything sounds incredible over 6 or 7 years into 15 minutes. And you know what you want to do? Wow, look at what I've done. No. When we do God's will, we do it for him, not for our glory. We do it in all humility. And then I thought about Ephesians, where it says, walk of love. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and had given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling savor. And when I thought about all that, to walk in all his ways, it's just a small glimpse of the characteristic of the fear of the Lord. But look at what he goes on to say. To love him. If you're going to fear God, you must love him. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it gives us a description of the attitude that we ought to have. And it says there, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. So we find that a person who really fears the Lord loves God. No, this is Valentine's Day. It's the day of love. To be honest with you, with my wife, every day is a day of love. I don't need a special day to think about that. She even got coffee in bed this morning again, as she does every morning, because I love her. I want to do things for her. Love, you know, is an abstract term. How would you define love? The only way I know to define love is to give illustrations, because there's no word to me, there's no way to really define it except by doing. You know, I looked back, and we've been married 53 years now. And I was thinking on our anniversary on January 20th, I was thinking back in my mind, boy, the day we got married, I stood up in front of all those people, and I told her, I love you. And now after 53 years, I look back on that, and I thought, Jack, you were an idiot. You didn't love her. You were infatuated by her. You loved the way she looked. I loved the way she smelled. That perfume just drives me bananas. But in comparison to today, and I look back, I think, Jack, I don't think you did love her then. Not like I did today, because every day it's a growing thing. And when we say we love God, every day it is getting better every day. It's growing. It's maturing. I was saved in 1968, and my love for my Lord from 1968 till now has matured to a place where when I got saved, I said I loved you, but I'm not sure I did, because it's a growing thing. So to fear the Lord is a walk in God's ways. To fear God means to love him. But it goes on and says even more, and to serve him. to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. The one who fears the Lord will serve the Lord. Just like love, they're going to go out of their way to serve him. We look for opportunities to serve him, not just to get the spotlight. You know, some people, when they serve the Lord, they only want the spotlight. We had a lady in Norway who was a trained singer, I mean professional singer. We asked her if she would join us in the choir. No, I only sing solos. We asked her husband, would you play for the choir? He was a classical pianist, and I mean accomplished pianist. Would you play for the choir? No, I only play specials. And then he would stand up after the special, and he'd take his bow. All for the glory. No, the one who fears the Lord is one who serves the Lord and looks for opportunities to get involved in ministry, not to please yourself, but to please him. That's who we do things for. I have no idea who cleans the church. I can tell you this, they don't do it to get the accolades and say, hey, look at what you did. That was great. You did. They do it because they're serving the Lord. And they're doing it to the best of their ability because this place looks spotless every time I come in here. And that's the way we ought to look for opportunities to serve him. That's what it means to fear the Lord. Drop down to verse 20. I want you to see something in verse 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Thou shalt serve him. And to him shalt thou cleave. That's an interesting word. Cling to him. Says the same thing over in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Let me just read that for you. Chapter 13, verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. You see, when we revere God, when we worship him, when we honor him, when we love him, it's only natural the more that we get to know him, the more we get to know anyone, the more we want to be with that person. And the one who reverences and holds God in awe is the one who wants to be near him as much as possible. We cleave to him. Why? Because he has all wisdom. He has all knowledge. He has all power. That's who this God is that we serve and love. And so we stay close to him. We cleave to him. How do you respond when you see somebody of authority? You're driving down the street. You're minding your own business, and all of a sudden this is what happened to me last week. Cars in front of me were all going, some of them were going a little faster than I am, and all of a sudden there's two motorcycle cops right over there. All I saw was brake lights. I mean, all of a sudden they're slowing down. They saw that authority over there. I've got cruise control on. I'm on Wade Hampton. I don't speed. I just set my cruise control. I didn't have to hit my brakes. Didn't bother me to see that authority over there. But how do you respond when you see people of authority and when you think about God and fear God? Remember, this is a God who saved us. He saved us to become his children. And it is with that privilege that we can come close to him and we can cry out to him, Abba, Father. And that closeness over time develops more and more, and it makes us want to be even closer to him after more time. Cleave to him. Then look at the end of verse 20 of chapter 10. It says in verse 20, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, thou shalt serve him, and thou shalt cleave to him, and swear by his name. Now, that's not terminology we use today. Now, some people do. They take the Lord's name in vain all the time. They swear by him. But I looked up all that involves. And I ran across a guy in a commentary by Dilute, and he said, it is a solid, essential confession with the mouth, as one would make in a court of law. We have an unchanging allegiance to God. Now, I've never been to court. I don't know if they still do this in the courts. They do on TV. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, except God? Well, they do that so flippantly, but when you put on there, so help you God, you're swearing by God's name that I'm going to tell the truth. And if I don't tell the truth, God's going to judge me. Well, he will. But you're swearing by his name that everything that I say is going to be truthful. Unfortunately, people today use his name in a vain way. But chapter 13, verse 4 said that you will obey his voice. God speaks to us today through his word, which is made understandable through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In fact, there's a whole chapter given to us about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16, I want to read for you. You don't need to turn there. I just want to read these to you. The Holy Spirit is one who works in our life, and he illumines our lives so that we can understand the word of God. So we will therefore want to obey. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9. And I'll read through 16. But as it is written, the eye hath not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Notice he's the one who takes the word of God and gives us understanding. He illumines our minds. He helps us to understand what he's saying. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If there is anything that helps us to understand the word, how to obey the voice of God, the passage makes it very clear. God gives us the word, and the Holy Spirit takes it and illumines it in our mind. That's why we need to be, every day, growing in this. It's amazing how I can reread passages of Scripture, and I understand more today than I did 10 years ago. And it's the same passage. You can never exhaust what's going on. That's why when Pastor hit that verse 4 of 118, my mind clicked on autopilot, and I hate to admit this, but I tuned him out because I kept focusing on the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? And I didn't pick up again until he said in verse 8, well, this is the middle verse of the whole Bible. And I thought, oh, yeah, I got to listen to what he's saying now. But the Holy Spirit illumines our minds so that we understand more and more and more as we keep getting older and older and older and growing closer to him, cleaving to him. Number 7. Now, as I kept reading out of Deuteronomy, I kept reading and I just couldn't stop. And so I kept going and going. Then I came up to chapter 14. I got down to verse 22. And it says here, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithes of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herd, and of the flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thy hand, and it'll go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. So he's talking about the tithe. If you truly fear the Lord, if you truly walk with him, love him, serve him, cleave him, swear with him, obey him, it's natural for us then to give the tithe, what belongs to him. If you can't take it in by way of wheat or corn or oils or wine or whatever the livestock, you sell it and then give the money to the Lord. But we do that willingly from a grateful heart. When you get to the New Testament, it says it as well. In Luke 4:11-42, Jesus gives this command again to give this tithe. And he talked to some of the Pharisees, and they were just giving it a little bit. And he says, you hypocrites, you say you love me, but you don't give. You keep it for yourself. You can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, and it says the same thing about giving the tenth. A tenth means tithes. You know what I find? Now, this is just our personal. But the less that I have to pay out in expenses, the more I can give to the church. And that's a real blessing. It's not that I have to, but we want to from a grateful heart. And so it's fun to cut back on our expenses. But why does God want us to reverence him? You know, he says it over and over again, fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear of the Lord. And then I kept asking that nagging question, why? Why do I have to walk with him? Why do I need to love him and serve him and cleave to him and swear by his name and obey him and give my tithe? Why? Notice how important it is to hear the word of God. In each generation, he commands us over and over again, let each generation hear the word of God, to fear him. Remember when they were building the wall in Nehemiah? They took the word of God and they used the word of God and they hungered to hear the word of God. And they said, let us hear the word of God. Those that fear the Lord, to observe all the words, so that their children who do not know the word would hear the word and they would respond to the word. And that is why it's important for our children to hear the word of God. That's why I love this church. We have junior church, and that's for the little ones. But when we get to a certain age, they're in church because they need to hear the word of the Lord as we do as adults. They are now understanding these words. They can understand what God is saying. And that's what we need to do. We need to respond to them where they need to hear the word of God. You know, God commanded us to do that. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. You know, when we get to be our age, let me just say my age, our kids are all grown, and you think, okay, it's over with. I've raised my kids. They're all walking with the Lord. They're serving the Lord. It's all over for me. My responsibilities have ended. It's not what the Bible says. Did you pick that up there in the second one? Which I command me, thou, talking about giving the word of God, thy son's son, those are my grandkids. I don't think until we die our responsibilities ever end. We need to live this life. They need to see that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our might. They need to see that. They need to see us living that life. They need to see us walking with him, serving him, cleaving to him, obeying him, giving our tithes and offerings. Therefore, wow, you know, we weren't even able to come to church. So we sent our tithe in. Because we don't do it to be shown. We don't do it for any glory. We do it because we love what he has done for us. Why do we fear the Lord? Why do we give him honor? Think of what he has done for us. He has saved us. He's redeemed us. He's given his life for us that we could have eternal life. Everything we do is for him, not for anybody else. It's for him. Do I fear God? Yes, I do. You know, some people see God as they see their own father. I did for a long time. I thought my Heavenly Father was just like my father. All he was going to do is discipline me. And I feared that. I dreaded the day I was going to die because I was going to stand in judgment. But once I got saved and I realized what God has done for me, I don't serve him out of fear. I serve him because I love him and I honor him. My judgment is taken care of at the cross. But I don't see him as this long bearded man either. I see him as a loving God who loves me and wants his best for me. The true picture is when we are able to display the kind of love that Jesus Christ had for us when he went to the cross and died in our place. And because he saved us, we love him and reverence him and honor him and love him. That's the way it ought to be. Now I know I'm a little bit short today. I'll redeem that time later on if I ever get another opportunity. But I want to close with this verse, 1 Samuel 12, 23 and 24. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. What is that? Only fear the Lord, serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. That's why we love God. That's why we fear God. That's why we honor him. That's why we do everything for his honor and for his glory. Well, how are you doing today? Do you fear God? Maybe you're here today and you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior. You don't even understand what we talked about today. You need to know Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. That's where the fear of the Lord begins. It begins at the cross, and it begins with you acknowledging that you're a sinner, that you can't save yourself, but Jesus Christ can. And it's just by simple repentance and confessing and asking Jesus to come into your life and to save you. I don't know where you are today in your life, your spiritual life, but if we can help you, please come see Brad. See any one of us. Come see me. Your lady, come see my wife. Let us show you from God's word how you can know that you have eternal life and how you can begin this life of fearing the Lord in the right way. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for these few moments we've had today. I thank you again for our pastor who challenges us to get into your word, to read it, to study it, to understand it. But we can't do that on our own, Father. And so I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that you've given to us to help us to illumine your word in our lives and our minds so that we can understand what you want us to do, so that we can walk with you and love you and grow in you. And Father, I do pray if there's someone here or someone listening who doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that you would encourage them to trust him today. Father, do a work today. Bring honor and glory to yourself through everything that we do, and we'll give you the praise as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.